Welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Delayed public warnings about drinking water contamination and a cozy relationship with the alleged polluter. That's among new information that MLive is reporting about the way the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality handled the possible toxic contamination of groundwater in Belmont in West Michigan. The spotlight is on something known as the House Street Sludge Dump, where Wolverine Worldwide once dumped waste products from waterproofing shoes. That waste was full of per- and polyfluoroalkyl substances, chemical compounds called PFAS. MLive's Garrett Ellison is here with us now. Garrett, you have done a ton of reporting on the PFAS contamination by Wolverine Worldwide in the Grand Rapids area. Your piece in MLive that hit last night shows how you used a Freedom of Information Act request that yielded internal DEQ emails, and especially taking us back to last spring, say April of last year. What did you learn from those emails, Garrett?
Last April, the DEQ and Wolverine's consultant, Rosen Westra, GZA, they were out in a neighborhood just on the northeast side of Wolverine's House Street dump. And they were canvassing, looking for homes where they could sample wells for PFAS contamination. They were looking in kind of the wrong spot. And their geologist, their staff geologist in the DEQ district office, picked up on that pretty quickly. He looked at the geology of the area, and he identified homes to the south and the southeast of the dump, and he said, these homes really need to be looked at. And he had identified a old river channel that essentially flowed from the dump, which is on the high ground, to the Rogue River, and he said, the homes in this path are in the danger zone. That was on April 20th. None of those homes were tested until July at the earliest, September, October at the latest.
Which means people living there had no idea. And what was found when they were tested? What kind of contamination levels were there?
Well, when those homes were tested, the ones south of the dump, adjacent to the dump, and southeast along what's now become essentially the known plume path, really high levels of PFAS. What was considered to be the record, at least from state health and toxicologist perspective, was found immediately south of the dump, right next door. I think it's 49,000 parts per trillion total PFAS. That's more than just the PFOS and PFOA. That's all the different PFAS compounds they tested for. South of the dump site, there was a 10,000 parts per trillion hit. Next door to that was Seth McNaughton's home, where there was 5,000 parts per trillion. And Seth McNaughton and his wife, Tobin, they have a young son. He had just turned one at the time. He continued to drink these extremely high levels of PFAS from essentially April to September. His home had been identified in April as being in the danger zone, but nobody really got around to testing it until September. And that was only after attorneys in the area and, you know, myself as a reporter had been asking questions. Had this tannery PFAS thing had started to bubble up over the summer of 2017. That's really how these people found out.
And as you tell us in your story for MLive, this little fella, Jack, I'm going to use your language, his young blood is loaded with PFAS.
It's an incredible level. From what I understand, it's comparable to what you might expect to see in a chemical factory worker, somebody who's been exposed to this stuff for a long time. He's going to be 2 in April. You know, his parents are terrified what this means for his health as he grows up.
Also, what did you find through these emails with respect to how involved Wolverine was in helping the DEQ communicate with people about this problem?
Wolverine essentially made a deal with the DEQ and said, we'll cooperate as long as we get input on the communications. The DEQ, what they allowed Wolverine to do was draft public notices, submit them to the DEQ. Those public notices were then almost verbatim printed on DEQ, State of Michigan letterhead, and then submitted to folks in the area. So it was public communication drafted by Wolverine attorneys and then distributed by DEQ. No mention whatsoever of Wolverine. No mention of Scotchgard. They did mention PFAS, but in connection to Teflon and Gore-Tex, which are two products that do contain PFAS but have no connection to Wolverine whatsoever. So DEQ showed a lot of deference to Wolverine in terms of letting the company draft and dictate its own public communications.
As you so skillfully put in your piece, the DEQ moved with spurts of urgency forced by happenstance while they were showing this notable deference to Wolverine's desire to keep the matter quiet. And you also report a DEQ official admitted to sharing an MLive FOIA request with Wolverine's attorney the day before giving you the requested information. Did you ask him why they did this?
Yeah, I discovered this the day that I got my request. It was in August. I had submitted a FOIA request for a status update on the Wolverine's tannery site itself. This was before I even knew about the House Street dump site. When I got a copy of my request, the DEQ gave me access to the FTP server to see, okay, so here's your information. Go ahead and download it. There was a folder marked Ellison, and then there was a folder marked John Bile. And John Bile is Wolverine's attorney. So I clicked on that folder, and it was my FOIA request. And so I called John Bile and I said, how did you get my FOIA request? And how did you even know that I requested information? Well, I talked to David O'Donnell at DEQ. Oh, okay. And so I called David O'Donnell and said, how would John Bile know to ask for my FOIA request? Why are you telling him that I requested information about the tannery? And his response was surprisingly candid. He said, you know, that's not the way it should have been done. I'm sorry. It stinks in kind of an ethical way, and I let relationships get in the way of thinking. And he kind of explained that the way that the DEQ handles media FOIA requests is there's a bit of an extended process than normal citizens or corporations like Wolverine need to go through. Essentially, he told John Bile about my request. John Bile said, well, why don't you give me all of that information that MLive FOIA'd as well, in part of a Wolverine FOIA request that was ongoing.
David O'Donnell is a DEQ supervisor who, as you point out in your piece, has been promoted since all of this, and he's kind of a central player to this response. What is the big takeaway for the public here, Garrett?
Well, I talked to James Clift at the Michigan Environmental Council. He reviewed some of these emails at my request. He came away with seeing a reflection of an under-resourced DEQ showing deference to a polluter with money, willing to step up to the table and say, okay, we'll take care of this, but we're going to pay for it under a voluntary program in the state's toxic cleanup law. And because we're willing to pay for it and you guys are running on fumes for paying for toxic cleanups, we are going to do it under these conditions. We want to be able to control communications. You know, the takeaway here, I think, is because this company was allowed to sort of drive the bus on investigation into its own pollution, the DEQ wasn't able to say, well, we're just going to do this ourselves and then conduct cost recovery later. Had they decided to take maybe a stronger hand, perhaps some of the exposure that occurred could have been stopped earlier.
Garrett Ellison's piece is at MLive.com. Garrett Ellison, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thanks for having me, Cindy.